Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
them keep my roots and listen to the talk from their people. Keeping in mind of what I said, letting your light shine, just because you think you've become an elder, don't let young folks sit you down. No, don't do that. See, the Most High made you an elder for a reason. He gave you wisdom and understanding, hopefully. And you ought to exercise that wisdom and understanding and share it. You see, once upon a time in our nation, our elders held rank. No, the younger whippersnappers, oh, they didn't hold any rank. No, they did what they were told. And the elders understood their position. Unfortunately, some of you don't understand your position because you've been westernized. You've been social engineered and conditioned. You've been tampered with. They've told you, you've reached the pinnacle of your success. Sit down. Enjoy a vacation. No, there ain't never no vacation when you're an elder. It don't stop till the casket drop. And the reason why I said that to say this is because I posted something on Facebook in regards to Mr. Trump. And in reference to this, Trump says, vaccine or no vaccine, we moving on. And I posted a rhetorical answer. Have you spoken to the creator in Arona? I mean, you can say whatever you want to say, but unless you've spoken to the creator in Arona, I don't think you're in a position to say, without the vaccine or with the vaccine, we move it on. And I had some young brothers wanted to take issue with it. Now, I let them have their say. I always let young folk have their say. I never shut them up. But once they start getting personal and make reference to my age, as if I'm some sort of idiot or something, I take issue with that. I carry my eldership with high esteem. And I'm serious about it, deadly serious about it. So when I have young folks come to me, number one, come wrong, disrespectful. Number two, don't know what they're talking about. They won't last long in my presence. It's just that simple. It's just that plain and simple, point blank. They don't last long in my presence because, number one, I imagine I could, even though I'm an elder and we were in our land, I couldn't approach the king no any old kind of way, and I wouldn't dare. I couldn't approach the priest any old tacky old way, and I wouldn't dare. Matter of fact, I can't approach each other any old messy old tacky old way, and I wouldn't dare. So why would I allow someone has that latitude? Why would you allow someone has that latitude? Don't do it. Put them in their place. You're the leaders. Lead. And as we say in the Marine Corps, lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. I'm getting run over by these young whippersnappers. Hey, I'm glad I'm back, and I missed you guys yesterday. Truth be told, I started to come on several times, but I prayed about it most. I said, no, you need to relax. You need to take time out. Get your mind right. Get back tomorrow. You ain't nothing special. So I did as instructed. I know how to follow instructions. You know, a good Marine know how to follow instructions. And a good man of the Most High knows how to follow instructions because he studies or she studies. And because of your studies, you know you got to be detail-orientated. You can't go what you feel like, what you think like. Oh, I'm feeling like this. Who cares about how I feel? Who cares about how you feel? It doesn't matter because it doesn't mean anything about how I feel and how you feel. But what's important is how the Creator feels about a subject matter. And this subject matter that we are about to tend to right now is in the 45th chapter of Ezekiel. The holy districts, district one, and the properties of the city and the prince, and the law governing the prince, and keeping the festivals. So I'm going to give you a moment to get to 45. We've almost done with it. And if you don't know, you do know this now. I'm going to tell you. We're going to the book of Ezra. Right after, let me tell you something about us. On a Real Talk for Real People show. We are serious about the business of the Most High. We are serious about understanding Him, understanding what He requires of us, understanding how we can get out of this situation, understand how we can improve our situation, understand what mistakes we made to get us in these universal prison system, universally speaking, and how to rectify the problem, and what can make us a righteous man and a woman. And not very much can make you righteous, just do right, because you're still dirty in the bottom line. And we've read in our studies that the Most High is going to clean us all up. I ain't trying to say go out and fornicate. I'm not telling you go out and steal, rob, and commit mayhem, dishonoring your mama and your daddy. I'm not telling you that. But what I am telling you this, do the best you can with what you got, but you know what you're supposed to be doing. And at the end of the day, even that being said, that's not going to really clean you up entirely. It'll get you presentable, but it really won't get you totally acceptable. Only the Most High can do that for you. But get your masks out. Are you ready? Okay, let me turn this light on. My eyes are not like they used to be because I'm an elder. Thank you very much. I already know that. Are you ready? May the Most High bless you, listeners, from the words of the Most High. Moreover, when you divide the land by lot into inheritance, you should set apart a district for the Elohim, a holy section of the land. The length shall be 25,000 cubits, and the width 10 cubits. It shall be holy throughout the territory all around. Everybody going to know this is something special. Of this, there shall be a square plot for the sanctuary, a square plot within that for the sanctuary, which covers 500 by 500 rods, with 50 cubits around it for open space around it, 25,000 cubits and 10,000 cubits wide. It shall be the sanctuary, the Most High holy place. It shall be a ministry. It shall be a holy section of the land belonging to the priest, the ministers of the sanctuary who come near to minister to the Elohim. It shall be a place for their houses. They can build their houses there. A holy place for the sanctuary. And an area 25,000 cubits long and 10,000 cubits wide shall belong to the Levites, the ministers of the temple. They shall have 20 chambers as possessions. And here's the deal. In my reading, in my in-depth study, I didn't read anything about an armory. So some of you brothers and sisters who got your rusty 38s and your bow and arrows and your slingshots, I have not read in my studies anything about an armory. So I don't know where you're getting your information from, but you've got your information twisted. Thank you very much. Going to the properties of the city and the prince, the king. You shall appoint as the property of the city. We got a city area. That area is 5,000 cubits wide and 25,000 cubits long. Adjacent to the district is next to the district of the holy section. It shall belong to the whole house of Israel. The city shall belong to all of us. That the Yehudites, the Gads, the Reubenites. There's no special city for a special tribe. All of us own that city that belongs to all of us. Okay? The prince that have a section on one side of the holy district, and on the other of the holy district, He should have a section on one side and the other of the holy district in the city's property, bordering on the holy district. And the city's property extending westward on the west side and eastward on the east side, the length shall be side by side with one of the tribal portions from the west border to the east border. The land shall be his possession in Israel. And my prince, the reason why I'm giving, allotting this land to him, and I'm going to give you my reason, that my king shall no more oppress my people, but they shall give the rest of the land to the house of Israel according to their tribes. So the king had an allotment of land because the Most High didn't want him evicting us. What is that thing they got in America? What is something rights they can take over your land? The Most High said, no, ain't none of that. The law governing the prince, the king. Thus said the Elohim Yah, enough, O prince of Israel. Here's what I want you to do. Remove violence and plundering. None of that, no more. Execute justice and righteousness. And stop depossessing my people. Stop evicting them from their lands, says the Elohim Yah. You should have honest scales, an honest ephod, and an honest bath. The ephod and the bath shall be of the same measure, so that the bath contains one-tenth of a homer, and the ephod, one-tenth of a homer. Their measure shall be according to the homer. The shekel shall be 20 gerahs, 20 shekels, 25 shekels, and 15 shekels shall be your minah. This is the offering which you shall offer. You shall give 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of wheat, and 1/6 of an ephah from a homer of barley. The ordinances concerning oil. The bath of oil is 1/10 of a bath from a core. A core is a homer of 10 baths. For 10 baths are a homer, specific. One lamb shall be given from the flock of 200 from the rich pastures of Israel. There should be a grain offering, burnt offering, peace offering, to make atonement for them, says the Elohim Yah. All the people of the land shall give this offering for the prince in Israel. Where? No, not in your little spot. Not in your little camp. Not wherever you skedaddled off to. Not in your Goshen. In Israel. All the people of the land should give this offering, for the prince in Israel. Then it shall be the prince's part to give burnt offerings. You give it to the prince, and if he's an honest prince, it's his part to give burnt offerings, grain offering, and drink offerings at the feast, the new moons, the Sabbaths, and at all the appointed seasons of the house of Israel. He shall prepare the sin offering, the grain offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering to make atonement for the house of Israel. See, we as the people, we are to give all that to the king. And it's his responsibility to give everything that's required to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For those reasons, as I indicated above. finally, in keeping the feast. Some of you don't know about that, so let me explain it to you. Thus said the Elohim Yah, in the first month, on the first day of the month, you shall take a young bull without blemish, cleanse the sanctuary. The priest shall take some of the blood of the sin offering, put it on the doorposts of the temple, on the four corners of the ledge of the altar, on the gateposts of the gate of the inner court. So you shall do on the seventh day of the month. For everyone who has sinned unintentionally or in ignorance, thus you shall make atonement for the temple. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, you shall observe the Passover. A feast of 7 days, unleavened bread shall be eaten. On that day, the prince, got to have a king, the king shall prepare for himself and for all the people of the land a bull offering, a bull for a sin offering. On the 7 days of the feast, he shall prepare, who? The king shall prepare a burnt offering to the Elohim, 7 bulls, 7 rams without blemish daily for 7 days. Not you, not me, the king. Have you got that? Is there any part of that you don't understand? Okay. And a kid, a goat of the goats, daily for a sin offering. He, who, the king, shall prepare a grain offering of 1 ephah for each bull and 1 ephah for each ram together with him, with an hin of oil for each ephah. See, the king got a whole lot to do. In the 7th month, on the 15th day of the month, at the feast, he, who, not you, not me, shall do likewise for 7 days, just like he did, according to the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the grain offering, and the oil, the same way. Who? The king. So all y'all that's trying to do what you're doing, if you ain't the king, and if the Most High ain't appointed you, anointed you as the king, you got to twist it. Okay? You got the game twisted. And you lean into your own understanding. You simply want to do what you want to do, when you want to do it, how you want to do it, and think that's supposed to suffice God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I don't think so. You know why I don't think so, brothers and sisters? Because he's been pretty specific, pretty detailed, even up to this point. So don't get it twisted. You're listening to the Real Talk for Real People show. My name is Brother Yamsup Arif. I'm going to play this lovely song, and I'm going to come right back and bring my brother on from New York, Cartrell. Here, my lovely Ima Hadora from St. Louis, Missouri. I'll bring you on to his family night. If you got something constructive and positive to contribute, but if you want to come on here, fuss and fight and argue and name call, this ain't, no, I ain't having none of that here. I'm sort of Pacific like the Most High when it comes to the Real Talk for Real People show. If you got something to go help us, we're going to give all ears. But if you got a whole lot of leaning to your own understanding, don't come here. This ain't the spot for you. Oh, it's true. Enjoy this lovely song. I'll be right back. Thank you.
I do not agree. This is not for me. No. Musical genocide. I will not commit, nor will I submit to musical genocide. This is not for me. I won't let it be. No. Musical genocide. Give me a blues song. Tell the world what's wrong. And the gospel singer giving those messages of love. Woe in the soul, man. With your heart in the palm of his hand, singing his stories of love and pain. Oh, I do not agree. I do not agree. This is not for me. No, musical genocide. I will not commit, nor will I submit to musical genocide. This is not for me. I won't let it be. No, musical genocide. Give me a blues song. Tell the world what's wrong. And what about the gospel singer? Heavenly messages of love and woe. The soul man with your heart in his hand, singing his stories of love and pain. Whoa, I do not agree. I do not agree. I do not agree. No. Not for me. Come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, people. Come on.
Talk for Real People Show. My name is Brother Yamsouf Arif. Without further ado, let me bring my friend and brother on from New York, Cartrell. May the Most High bless you, Cartrell. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Brother Yamsouf, may the Most High bless you.
Thank you very much, brother.
Okay. This chapter is pretty, you know, concise. It's telling us the order of our festivals, our holy days. And we so far away from this.
Man, what you say? Say it again. Maybe they missed it. We so what?
Far away from this. We don't even know who our princes are. We got brothers running around calling themselves princes. But, you know, there's only 12 princes in Israel. There's a prince for every tribe, and then there's the king. And the Most High is calling the king a prince.
Right.
So we're not nowhere near this order right here. And in our minds and in our spirits, we think we serve in the Most High the correct way. But in this chapter, he lays out the order of service to him. And you can't serve Yah any other kind of way. Matter of fact, you have to give your offerings to the prince, who is the
exactly.
king.
Exactly. Bingo.
And you know, our people ain't used to no kings, man. Our people ain't used to no kings. Maybe
they
our ancient fathers were, but
they need to,
modern day
they need,
Israel,
they need to get used to it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if we can, because that's a foreign concept to us. We got, you know, this democratic system where, you know, majority rules. When a king is in charge, ain't a majority rule. He's the ruler. And what he say go. And a lot of our people may not be used to that, but...
Well, see, but they don't understand. See, but we have a much more pure system, Because you got elders that counsel the prince of each tribe, and the prince of each tribe counsel the chief prince, which is the king. So this is a much more a system that is conducive for what is right in the land. Now, this Western concept, this Greek concept, this Roman concept, what do they call it? A republic slash democratic, which is the Greeks democratic, the republic Romans. This system is not conducive to us. The reason being, we still begging. Please, Black Lives Matter, don't kill me. Oh, man, I need me some more food stamps. Oh, Lord, this poor housing we got. We in this condition. Rona is killing us. We still begging for everything. So if this system is so conducive and helpful for us, why are we still begging for everything?
That's because we don't know anything about the land. We are city-fied, urbanized, and we get our food from the supermarket. As you can see here.
We get our food from the supermarket. We got a city. We just read about it. We got a city. I mean, even though we got a city, we're still connected to the land, even though we got a city.
And to slaughter a bull or a sheep, we don't know nothing about that. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of work. To slaughter a bull, even a sheep.
Bull, a young bull, too.
Yeah, young bull. How you slaughtering a young bull? Let you know what you're doing. You might slaughter you.
What's that called, Jim? That young bull may get up with you, huh?
You don't know what you're doing. You be done put you over the fence with them horns, huh?
For sure.
But, yeah, it shows that we have a monarchy, and the modern people of today who's calling themselves Israeli and Jewish, you could see that they're not even close to this. They got a parliament. They got a democracy. They don't have a monarchy, a royal monarchy, or princes, or, you know, a government like this in the form that the Most High is speaking of. They carrying out a Western democracy in the land of Israel, and the Most High is not talking about a Western democracy in the land of Israel. So they've been there for since 1948?
47 or 48.
47, 48. And you don't see none of this in the land.
Not even close to
any of it. Nope.
Not even close. They carrying out that Roman / Greek concept.
Uh-huh. But we know that this is futuristic. This is the Most High laying the order, laying the line down for what's going to happen in the future. So we hope that we're part of that, you know. Everybody ain't gonna make it, cause we stuck in our ways. A lot of us are stuck on stupid, and we're not gonna comport ourselves or humble ourselves to the order that the Most High is breaking down for us. We don't respect each other. We don't love each other. Imagine, you know, King David coming back and telling people what to do. What you think they gonna tell him? So there's an order that the Most High is laying down about how to serve him in his temple. And if you read this chapter, you can see we are way off from our service to the Most High as far as holy days, new moon, and Shabbat. We're supposed to go through our prince, supposed to go through our king, and it's not no individual thing. It's a national thing. So the concepts that we have here in this captivity may cause us to lose our blessing because we're so used to the routines that we've set for ourselves that we can't even see the order that the Most High has set for us. There's a lot of people stuck in their ways, don't want to change, but we had to comport ourselves the way the Most High wants to comport us to comport ourselves in serving and worshiping and honoring him. And he's laying it out in detail. So humility is very important so that we take ourselves out the way and allow Yah to be our guide and direct our steps.
Truth be told, Cottrell, truth be told. Well, Cottrell, if you're done,
yes, sir.
If
yeah,
you're
man.
Done, my brother and friend, I can bring on lovely Imad Dora.
Okay. Let's do that.
Let's do that. Imad Hadora, huh? What you say? Lovely Imad Hadora from St. Louis, huh? I always like to pick that. Imad Hadora, may the Most High bless you, sister. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Shalom, my dear brothers. How are you today? Given
we okay, love. We okay.
High, for he is truly, truly worthy to be served. Hallelujah. And to be praised. And what a glorious day it will be when we are back in our land and we're back to our thinkers have been repaired.
Broken.
You know, because right now our thinkers are broken because we are broken people. And I just like to reiterate, just to make Israel understand, the Almighty, there's a reason why every other line throughout the Old Testament says what? I am Yah, your God, Israel. I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Is that correct? Or Yahshua?
Yes, ma'am.
Why is that so important for us to understand? Because then all through the rest of the book, through the words of the prophets, he gives precise instructions as how to serve him. He gives precise instructions as to how our nation was to be governed. Is that correct? And if we can see here, once Israel is returned back to the land, as it is stated in Isaiah, the 43rd chapter, he's going to gather us from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Is that right? And return us back to our land, the land of our fathers. Then all of this comes right back. It goes right back into place as the original way that things were set up in the beginning. Would you agree with that?
Yes, ma'am.
And I just want to say this, and I think it's very important that we understand that the Almighty, is when he says we could not, when we were in our land, and this is for, and this chapter here, as the previous chapter, the chapter, the next chapter, spells out precisely the Almighty precise in every word he gave. Every word. He leaves nothing for our input, nothing for someone's interpretation or private understanding. His word is precise and he's repetitive. He repeats himself over and over and over again so that we can walk away with knowledge and understanding and not the speculation and intellectual doctrine and philosophical views. Okay? Why is the land so important? That's number one thing. Why? And once we get back to the land, the altar, everything has to be precise in how we go serve our great King. Okay? The reason why the land is so important is because Almighty made a covenant with the land before he made it with the people. And once he made a covenant with our nation, and what does it say? When he took us into our land of inheritance, he gave precise instructions. And he said that once we enter into our land, we could not do what we wanted to do in serving him wherever we wanted to while we were in our land. But there was a special place out of all the tribes that he would choose to cause his name to dwell. And there we're supposed to do all that he commanded of us. So why is that so important? Because the initial plan from the beginning was for the Almighty to dwell in the midst of his people. That's why he said, in a place where I chose to place my name. And guess what? When everything culminates, when all the judgment is ended and everything, all nations shall flow where? Flow right back to Jerusalem, where the Almighty chose to place his name. Here we see that once Israel is returned back to the land, first of all, we're not going to go back to that foolishness that we got out for. That's just not going to be. And the Almighty is telling us to break down once again, so we'll get it right. But we won't be caught up in our foolishness. We build, as the Almighty said, in that day, I'm going to plant the word in their hearts and in their minds, and they shall no longer go astray from me. So we will go back in obedience in the spirit of the Almighty, in obedience to his word. And as you can see, when he talks about the different plants of the God, he's talking about how here in the 45th chapter, we see for the first time the Shabbat is brought back up again, right? Before that, look at all the preparations it took just to get to the Shabbat. Are we aware of that?
Absolutely.
Am I correct there, Moray?
Yes.
Because before that, and I think again, too, we need to really, really understand the weekly Shabbat. It's different than the feast day. America considers the high Shabbat. Is that correct?
And yes, ma'am.
The weekly Shabbat was for just what the Almighty gave it for. 6 days, if we understood the preceding wording before we get to that, it gives great understanding. 6 days thou shalt labor, but the seventh day is holy unto Yah. The seventh day you shall rest. That was a national mandate. Why? Because your man servant, your maid servant, your ox, your ass, your beast of burden. Nobody worked on the Shabbat. He worked 6 days. He gave you the seventh day off. Why? Because that was the day that he set aside and made holy. And so therefore, a lot of the, and we see again, when he kicked Israel out of our land, everything that came with our inheritance, he took it away. That was part of our judgment, part of our punishment. He took it all away. We're seeing here in these chapters that we're reading, going over now, for the Almighty to replace in everything that he took away. Until then, what we're doing in these lands of our captivity, these others walking out with friends, and I did too, because it's all a learning process. We're all trying to find our way back to our Creator. We're all trying to find out, go back to what did he tell us to do. And the thing that he told us to do, nobody wants to even talk about that. What did he tell us to do? Repent. Tell me your story. Turn from our wicked ways. We don't want to talk about that. We want to go around and we want to put on fringes and we want to beat up our people because they're not speaking the Hebrew. Well, what Hebrew are you speaking? The Almighty took that tongue. The last I heard, it was a lost tongue, and it's the Jews that bought this Hebrew that we're speaking, or shall I say that they're speaking today. It's the Jews that bought that language back. So do you really know what you're speaking? So the Almighty says that he's going to return Israel back to a pure language. We won't have to be beating up our people because they don't speak no Hebrew. Hell, we're speaking every language it is in the earth. Why? Come on, Hebrew. We're speaking every language it is. Why? Because we've been scattered throughout the whole earth. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am.
Among all nations. So the Almighty, he knows what he's doing. And I think if we just really go through this, you see how he's reciting the measurements. He's reciting where it's supposed to be done, how the princes are supposed to come forth, what the duties of the Levites are. What Levite is going to minister to him? The Almighty don't leave nothing to our imagination or nothing for our input. We just have to humble ourselves, submit ourselves back to our God. We are a people bought with a price. And that price is the Almighty has, as he said, you gave up nations for us. He gave people for our lives. And he seals that covenant with our people as with a blood covenant, as a blood covenant. And he sealed it by swearing by his own holiness of the everlasting covenant. So Israel, we can run, but we can't hide. You see, we can run and choose not to obey, and we're going to be destroyed. But know this, why would you want to run? We're going through the chapters where the Almighty is describing the new temple and how the people are going to be treated once we go back to the land. Why would you want to run from that? Why would you want to run to it instead of running away from it? We have served a great king. Our God is the Most High God, the God of the God. Why would we want to serve man instead of the Most High? So, wake up Israel and know that our redemption is near. Our redemption is at hand. They say the COVID virus is mutating itself, and now it's attacking the children. You know? But the word says to us, didn't it? And the farmers, they're upset because they've been told to destroy the crops and the milk and everything. And now the government is paying off the millionaire farmers and the little farmers. They're suffering like everything. So we can see in the stores, we can already begin to see the food shortage. The Almighty judgment has entered into the earth. Let's get ready to go back so we can enter into this glorious temple, into our glorious land, and enjoy our glorious life, our life of peace once again. Praise be unto the Most High Yah, for he is so worthy to be praised.
Yes, ma'am. Did you recall Emma Hadora as I was talking about the descriptions and the detail? And I read nowhere and there was an armory to arm the people. I didn't read anything about an armory.
No. The Almighty said he's bringing his army from the other sides of the heavens to fight on our behalf.
Mm-hmm.
To fight on behalf. You know, the hardest thing for us to understand, and that's because we've been cut off for so long. We don't understand that we are a nation in exile. We're scattered among all people from one end of the earth to the other. We don't even have a nationality. You know, they look up on animals more than they look on us. They got German Shepherds, Chinese Chow, French Poodle. When it comes to us, we got is black. Or Africa, named after two continents, African American. What is that? It's it. And wherever land we were scattered to, they can have a name equivalent for nigger for us. They don't even assign a nationality to us. But the Almighty knows who we are. And he said he's coming. And you know, as it says in the book of Zechariah, Israel is the apple of my eye. Who is Israel? Israel is my son, my firstborn. You see? And so, therefore, because we don't understand, we've been cut off, we don't understand nation. So there's no need for us to do what the Almighty has commanded us to do, gather ourselves together, oh, nation, not to God. Why? Because as it states in the book of Yirmiyahu, this is the nation that disobeys their God. You see? So once we come to understand the concept of nation, to understand, have a better understanding of the Shabbat and the feast days, because that was a national mandate. Just like this country have its holidays, those were the holy days of our government. if that makes sense.
Yep, makes sense, Ima.
You see. So once we come to understand that we are the people of this book, we are the nation of Israel. Our nation consisted of 12 tribes, and all of our tribes had breath in them. The Almighty told you King David's seed, King David and his seed is his king that will rule over Israel forever. The Jews ain't never talked about no king, have they? They've never talked about the priest. They talk about rabbis. The Almighty haven't said nothing about no rabbis. He said priests, the Levites, Levi. You see?
Mm-hmm.
So this thing is so much deeper, and it's so beautiful. It's so wonderful when we truly understand that we are the people of this book. We are a covenant people. We are a blessed people. And, you know, the mere fact that the world knows who we are, that's why they hate us. So,
true be told.
I just want to share this. I want to share this one story right quick before we end. My
No, it's family day. We it's family day. And that not only you're going to talk to Mike, open up the other callers.
Okay. I want to share this story. My sister was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
I might have shared it before because, you know, I'm kind of forgetful these days. But
that's
anyway,
right.
This nurse, this Gentile nurse was attending her. And he wanted to know, he says, he was blessing her in the name of Jesus. And we told him we don't do Jesus. He says, oh, you don't believe in our Lord and Savior? He says, no, we don't. He says, do you mind me asking why not? And I said, because we're Israel. And we are commanded to serve no one but our God. That's why we're in the trouble that we're in today, meaning that our people have been scattered and our nation destroyed. Because we didn't obey our God, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, oh, you know that you're an Israelite? I said, yes. Oh, what a blessing. What an honor. And so he came over and said, may I shake your hand? I said, yes. He says, oh, my word, just to think a real live Israelite. He says, how did you come to know that you were an Israelite? I said, because the Most High Spirit revealed it. I said, and furthermore, you know, for the longest, we thought that we were hated because we were black. But that's not why we're hated. We are hated because everybody knows who we are but ourselves.
True.
He says, no, no, that's not why you're hated. And I said, then why are we hated? He says, because we want to know why did he choose you and didn't choose us.
Wow, wee. And the man came clean. He came clean.
He came clean.
Wow.
He told the truth. We wanted, because we want to know why did he choose you and didn't choose us.
Cold blood.
That sounds like Cain and Abel, doesn't it?
Man, that is Cain and Abel. Why he pick y'all? Why he pick y'all? He ain't pick us. Hey, man, we didn't have no choice in the matter.
Not at all. And everybody want to be us but us.
Yeah, everybody want to be us but us.
Everyone knows what a glorious future that's live waiting for us but us.
Right.
Everybody wants to claim to be Israel and will fight you over that, except when it comes to those curses. That's a whole nother ball game. And one day, a friend girl of mine threw it in the midst of some Jews, and they were saying that they were Israel, and we just said, no, we know who we are. And my friend girl said, you say you Israelite? He said, yes. He said, have you ever been called a nigger? I said, a nigger? No. Say you ain't no Israelite.
Bingo. I've been called that so many times, but see, I got a trick for him, Ema. See, I used to get upset, but the Most High told me, hey, man, it don't make no difference what they call you. It don't matter because it don't mean nothing. You know who you are. And I told a story to somebody. And I said, this is how I respond. And I said it. And I said it in a humorous way. I said, I could be in a warehouse, and there could be a group of white men in a corner looking at me, hollering, hey, nigga, hey, nigga. And I keep sweeping the warehouse floor. Hey, nigga, hey, nigga. And I just keep sweeping. Then they get tired, and they probably, hey, why he ain't responding, getting mad, acting a plump fool. Then I play like I ain't paying no attention. One of them will ease up to me sooner or later. Hey, buddy, you know, them guys will call you a nigga. I mean, he probably was the primary one calling me one. Them guys will call you a nigga. I said, well, you know, I heard y'all calling a nigga. You know, I ain't never had the opportunity to meet one. I thought I would get a chance today, but he never did show up. Where he at? Did y'all be?
Yeah, so was I taught my children when they were coming up. And they would, one time one of them got in a fight, said, he's talking about my mama.
Right.
I said, do he know your mother? Do he know me?
Mm-hmm.
No, ma'am. Has he ever spoken with me? No, ma'am. Then how can he talk about me?
Exactly.
Once you stop and start defending what he said, that means that what he said is telling the truth to you.
That's what I'm saying, okay. Imar, and that's why I told that story. Because if I get angry about a name you done made up to identify me, which I know ain't me, well, what that say about me? They say I believe it. But if I don't respond to it, they say it don't matter because it don't mean nothing because it ain't me.
Absolutely.
So, and that's why I tell you, don't let somebody made up some old raggedy name and you supposed to get mad. What did you get mad about? That ain't you.
But,
you worried about the wrong thing. So they call me.
And looking at the other side of that coin, Brother Ronsu, don't you?
Uh-huh. Yes, ma'am.
The Almighty said, when they calling you nigger or porch monkey or coon or whatever, they're validating that you are Israel.
Exactly.
How is that? The word
but you know,
shall become a bad word, a proverb. And in the book of Yirmiyahu, it takes it even further. It says you shall become a curse, a taunt, a hiss, an object of destruction among all nations. So they're validating who you are.
But I've been called that recently. I think about several months ago, I went downtown Memphis to get a slice of pie. I didn't overhear what they said. A little young girl that was in the presence of the group went down there. She overheard them saying that nigga, but he didn't say it loud enough for me to hear. But if he said, you know, I said, come on, baby, don't even worry about that. She said, did you hear him? I said, what did he say? He said, nigga. I said, oh, don't even worry about it. You know what I mean? But not long as he didn't put his hand on me, he can call me anything he wants. Just don't call me late for dinner. Long he didn't put his hand on me, he was good. That if he had put his hand on me, the whole dynamics had to change real quick. All of a sudden.
Real quick. But I tell you, you know, I want to read this real quick, Yirmiyahu 29:18. And I will persecute them with the sword, with the famine, with the pestilence, and will deliver them to be removed to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse, an astonishment, a hissing, a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them. And the reason why I brought that up is because I don't care what land we were scattered to, there is a name equivalent for nigger for us.
Truth be told. Truth be told.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, Israel, be proud. Stand up. Take back your heritage. You are royal people. A royal people. When we read in Ezekiel, the word speaks about priests and princes, kings.
Yeah.
It says about no niggers and thugs and hoes.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
You see? The minute that we have to shed these clothing, this false clothing that we've been cloaked with, by our enemy. We have to shed that and put back on our royal robes once again.
Yes, ma'am.
You know, don't take pride in being a thug or a nigger or my nigger, my hoe or my, you know.
Yeah, I know.
Be proud. Be proud to say, no, brother, I am Israel. I am of the royal seed. So
yes, ma'am.
Stand up, Israel, and let's hear others from what others have to say. If we have anyone else online.
Well, if there's anyone online has something else to share in regards to what we read about Ezekiel or anything else for that matter, something may be plaguing your mind. Or you may have a question in particular. Hit number one on your phone. We'll bring you on. If not, I'm going to ask Cartrell to pick a lovely Psalms for us and read it so we can get ready to get out of here. Cartrell, are you there, my brother and friend? Okay, hold on. Okay. We have a caller, area code 248. Your mic is hot. May the Most High bless you. Shalom.
Hi, this is Sister Tebbis. I just wanted to say hello and that I'm on the line, and I thank you all.
Yes, ma'am. It's a pleasure.
Beautiful lesson.
Yes, ma'am. Is there anything you'd like to share with us?
Not right now, but
I
do have something I would like to share next week. I just don't have my notes with me.
Okay, well, you know where we'll be, Most High willing, come this Monday. You know where we'll be at.
I'll be ready Monday.
Thank you, sister. It's good to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Hello, Sister Ima.
Shalom, my darling. How are you?
I'm blessed. I'm hanging
in
there.
Yes, you are. You are truly blessed. Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Thank you, sister.
You're so welcome.
You're welcome. Shalom.
Thank you. Shalom. Cartrell, are you there, brother? Cartrell? Something must have happened to him because, you know, I heard from why, and this was unusual. Well, Imam Adora. Okay, Cartrell. Have you got a nice song? You got a nice song? Close it out with?
Yeah, short and sweet. King David, the first song.
Okay.
What
Gives
Psalm
us wisdom.
Was that?
The first
one.
Psalms.
Okay.
Number one.
He goes on to write, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. For his delight is in the law of Yah, and in Yah's law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For Yah knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thanks very much. Cartrell,
yes.
Cartrell, are you? I heard you sneezing. Are you okay?
Yeah. I got my windows open, and it was hot up here in New York. Then all of a sudden, it got windy and chilly.
Oh,
I ain't got the Rona, bro. Don't worry. You can't catch
it. No. That if you did have a Rona, the Most High got you anyway, so it don't make no never mind you got it or not. But, Imam Dora, you was going to say something, love.
Yes, I wanted to say, in closing, can we lift up a prayer for the young sister and the brother that were gunned down again by the police or their affiliates. The young man down in Georgia, and I think the sister.
Oh, yeah.
was in Oklahoma.
Yeah.
I forget where she was, but they shot her 8 times. I think that was in Oklahoma. And the young brother that was jogging and they shot
him. Ma'am. I'm aware.
And today they interviewed the father and the son and the attorney for them. And they said, oh, it's so much more to this story that, you know, that no one is hearing just yet. But you will see, they did not commit no murder. They were within their rights to do this. So let us pray and ask the Almighty.
Boy, them folks never cease to amaze me, Ema. They go, if it ain't in their rights, they go write it in to be in their rights. Truth be told. Well, Ema, I'm gonna ask Cartier, would he lift up the brother and his family and the sister and her family in prayer, and they won't get to getting out of here. Cartier, you mind saying a prayer, my brother and friend, for these families?
Not at all.
Thank you, my brother.
Well, we face the east, the temple where King Solomon built, and the temple area where the Most High is going to put that new temple, because that's the place of his glory. And we cry out to you, Yah, in these times of our crisis, these times of your judgment, Yah. We see that the earth is being plagued with your pestilence, your plague, your famine. We know the sword is coming, Yah, and the sword has been placed upon our people. We pray, Yah, that that would even look, because we know that you already know. We know that you see. We ask that you even rise up and come to our defense, Yah, that you would make yourself known among the nations, that you would even deliver your people as you have promised, Yah. We turn to you, Yah, for you are our only help. You are our shield, our buckler, our place of refuge, Yah. Continue to guide, shield, and protect us, Yah, from the pandemic that's out here. We pray that you continue to guide, shield, and protect us from the police that's out here that want to kill us. You know, they have license to kill us, Yah. And it's the same scenario that Pharaoh used in Egypt. He was killing all our young men. And you acted on our behalf when we cried out, Yah. So we cry out now, Yah, for history repeats itself. We are under duress. We are under oppression. We've been oppressed, Yah, for at least 400 years now. And we ask that you come and act in our favor, that you would even straighten out the earth and even purify it, Yah, that you would even stand up, Yah, and rid the earth of the wicked. For we cry out, Yah, and the earth cries out for all the blood that has been shed. We ask that you continue to be with us, be nigh to us, that you would even wake up our people, Yah, to our future and to you, Yah, that you would draw nigh to us as we call upon you in these times. We thank you for all things and everything that you do for us, Yah. We thank you for all things and everything that you will do for us, Yah. We pray that you continue to hear our cry and our prayers to everyone that's out there on the phones, to everyone that's out there in scattered captivities that we're in, Yah. Hear our voice and answer us and even save us, Yah. These things we ask of you because we know you're able, Yah. All glory and praise and honor are unto
Hallelujah.
You,
Yah.
Belong to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
All praise. Hallelujah.
All praise. Ema Hadora, love. Any closing remarks?
No, except I love you. I love Israel. And Israel, please put aside your differences. Let us put aside our discord amongst each other. And let us come together in obedience to the word of Yah. Let us gather ourselves together, O nation not desired. And let us cry out to our God. And ask that he hear our cry. Hear our plea. Turn from our wickedness so that he can hear. So that we can come from up under this oppressive regime and we can return home where we can truly enjoy our Shabbat, the Shabbat that the Almighty gave us, not the Shabbat that we have created for ourselves. And I pray, I pray, I pray that he look upon Israel far near, wherever lands we were taken captive to. I pray that he look upon our suffering, wherever we are, upon all the killing that's taking place in the midst of our people, whether at our hands or at the hands of others. I pray, Yah, that you stop this bloodshed. Come and cleanse the earth once again and clean up your people so that we can be your people, you can be our God. And so, Israel, humble yourself. humble yourself. Return back to your God. Return back to Him, because at the end of the day, He's the only one that can save and deliver us. To the glory of His name, I pray. Be blessed, Israel, and know that Yah love you. I love you, and so do Yah. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let us thank the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Yah. I want to thank Imadora from St. Louis, Missouri. I want to thank Brother Cartier from New York. I want to thank you, listeners. And Sister Sahia, I want to thank you, too, for coming on. And keep on coming back, because we are about precision. We are about detail. We are about following the Most High Word and not leaning to our own understanding. That being said, listeners, I don't know where y'all are going, but y'all are going to get ready to get out of here. And for those brothers and sisters who think are broken and lean into your own understanding, take an ex-fool's advice. That ain't going to work for you. That's going to work on you. That's going to work against you. Stop leaning to your own understanding. That does not work for you. It works on you and against you. The Most High is detail-orientated. He leaves nothing to happenstance or chance. You ain't got to do much thinking. The only thing you got to do is do some acting. It's just that simple. Listeners, we love you. And you are always in our prayers. Nation, you are always in our prayers. Mothers, brothers, sisters, uncles, elders, our elder sisters, our youth, you are always in our prayers. May the Most High bless you. Shalom. Everything.